Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs, and what I'd like to do is actually go through, beginning with Proverbs 11, verse 23, and just turn to a number of passages throughout the book of Proverbs to show you and kind of settle in your mind the importance of this topic and knowing what God thinks about it. And so we'll just kind of turn from verse to verse. My wife said, ideally, I should have prepared a PowerPoint and have all those verses up on the screen, but it didn't happen. I had to go to bed. So anyway, forgive me on that. So use your Bibles there. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 23. The desire of the righteous ends only in good. The expectation of the wicked is wrath. Proverbs 14, 17. Just flip over. 14, 17. A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. Verse 29 in the same chapter. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 15, 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Proverbs 16, verse 32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs 19, 11. Good sense makes one slow to anger. You kind of get the idea? It's good to be slow about something. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Verse 19 of chapter 19. A man of great wrath will pay the penalty, for if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare or a trap. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Proverbs 27, verse 4. Wrath is cruel. Anger is overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy? Chapter 29 and verse 8. Scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away from wrath. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Verse 22. A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Chapter 30, verses 32 and 33. Chapter 30, verses 32 and 33. If you have been foolish exalting yourself, or if you have been devising evil, put your hand on your mouth. For pressing milk produces curds, pressing your nose produces blood, and pressing anger produces strife. Strife has the idea of conflict or bitter disagreement. Let's bow in prayer. as we prepare our hearts for this message today. God, I pray that you would give me the strength that I need. I pray that you would stir all of our hearts to right activity and to right thinking as it relates to this matter of anger. If we all are willing to admit it, we all struggle at some point or have struggled in the past. And there will be opportunities in the future to deal with it as well. And so I pray that you'd give wisdom, you'd give learning, and may we all be willing to change. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. As you can see, the book of Proverbs instructs us in matters of wisdom as it relates to all areas of our life. It gives us wisdom as it relates to our relationships, family life, dealing with finances, and walking in righteousness, or right things, right ways. But it also gives us a window into our heart and helps us consider our emotions as well. In the above Proverbs, the ones we have just read, Solomon addresses the emotion of anger. Our emotions are designed by God as a gift to us. And yet there are times, places, and circumstances that bring out emotions that destroy. We need to use that which God has given to us for good and for His glory. I'd like to give a couple examples of people who have let anger get the best of them. On July 5th, 2000, a hockey scrimmage, now we're talking a scrimmage, not even a regular game, a hockey scrimmage took place in Burbank Ice Arena in Reading, Massachusetts. It was a scrimmage for 10 to 12-year-old young boys. Michael Costin's three sons were playing on one team, and Thomas Hunta's son was on the opposing team. This was a scrimmage that didn't even really matter, didn't count for any record, but the events that transpired radically changed two families. The two men got into a scuffle during the game because of a disagreement they had over the roughness of play by the boys. Following the scrimmage, Mr. Hunta and Mr. Costin got into it again, and Mr. Costin was beaten to death. Today, Thomas Hunta is sitting in prison while Michael Costin's sons are left without a daddy. How can that happen? We've all been to ball games, Little League games, and on up, where fans acted like fools. Maybe we've even done some things or said some things that have been poor example to our kids and to others. But to kill someone over a Little League hockey scrimmage? How does that happen? You may find that foolish, but how about this? You can relate maybe to the frustration of Karen Morgan. The frustration she must have felt as she stood in the express line at the grocery store. How many of you have been in a hurry as you've rushed to the grocery store to pick up a few items only to have the person standing in front of you in the express lane not with 9 items or less, but with 30 items in their basket? Does that sound familiar? Karen Morgan was in a hurry and she got into that lane. And she noticed that this lady in front of her had many, many more than what she was supposed to have. She mocked the lady's math skills on the spot. She began cussing at her. And that was not enough. Humiliating the woman was not enough for her, and she followed her out into the parking lot. The 51-year-old customer who had more than she should have said this: "She grabbed me by the hair, she pulled me to the ground, kneed me in the stomach, kicked me in the head and in my side, and I got all scratched up and I was bleeding everywhere." How can that happen? Are we a world, a nation, a people that have gone crazy? Yes. I mean, we see it all the time. I don't know exactly what happened, but I understand here in Chicago that someone was shot. We don't know the reason being, but maybe it was because of gotten cut off, and now here's a truck driver that was killed just on, what is it, Route 88? Just the other day. How about the man that got upset over his girlfriend or something? And so he goes out and he shoots an elderly man who just was out picking up cans along the roadway. This world has gone crazy with anger. But I'm sure that no one here has ever faced this problem. Yes. In fact, right here, the guy in the pulpit, I used to be an angry kid. I don't know why. Maybe it's being a pastor's kid. I don't know. But I had a short fuse, and I'm ashamed to even admit it today. I had to run a lot of laps in the parking lot at my elementary school in Virginia. God had to work in my heart. My father had to work on me. He made me walk up and down stairs very quietly on my tiptoes over and over again because I stomped up and did things and put holes through walls. I'm just glad God began to work in my heart. And you know what else he gave me? Three boys. And you know, if that's not enough, my boy now has five kids he's taking care of right now. Three of his own, two fostering. My son had a hot fuse, a short fuse. And so God has given me plenty of opportunity to learn to be patient, to learn to deal with my anger. And if you have the same problem, I'm just glad to know that I'm not the only one. And we need to work together on this matter. Proverbs, as we've already noticed, is not silent on this topic. The Bible in general is not silent. All over we see people acting in foolish anger. We'll look at that in just a moment. But within the book of Proverbs, there is an assortment of 13, I believe, different words that are used for anger. In the English language, we can come up with wrath and anger. But in Hebrew, they had all kinds of terms that would describe this matter of anger. And they teach us a lot. Before we get to those distinctions a little bit, I'd like to just share the big idea for today. I think you gather that God wants us to control our anger. We have people all around us, and we have to include ourselves in that, that there are many times when we are out of control. And you know, don't you find it, just when you think you've gotten a handle on it, it seems to pop up in an unlikely time over something very foolish. The secret is, we can't do it alone. We need God's help. So I hope that I don't ever convey that if you just need to muster up enough strength within yourself to do it, you cannot do it. I cannot do it alone. We need God's help. Temper or anger is a universal problem. Everyone feels anger from time to time, though we express it very differently. Some shout, some intimidate others, some show frustration, irritability, annoyance, some blow off steam, and some clam up. Some fret, some quit, some backbite, and some get depressed. It affects all of us in different ways. A man who allows his anger to run unchecked, and again, by a man, I'm referring to men and women, because I have to believe that some of you ladies also have problems, just like I had, and continue to deal with. A man or woman who allows their anger to run unchecked will not act in a wise manner in which Christ wants us to act. Flying off the handle, not controlling one's temper, causes a person to do and to say things that they later regret and wish they'd never said or done. Proverbs 25:28 says, "A man without self-control," we read it earlier, "is like a city broken into and left without walls." Walls were very important to Jerusalem. They kept out the enemy. A city without walls is a city without defense. When we're not in control of ourselves, we are vulnerable to all kinds of attacks. If I could kind of describe it in my own words and sort of put into kind of a picture for us to understand, I would describe anger this way. Anger is like that warning light on the dash. It alerts us, and now we must do something about it. We must stop. We must slow down. We must assess what to do next. And however you need to do that, count to 10, count to 100, count to 1,000. But assess and make sure that our anger is focused in the right direction. And we'll talk some more about that. But I first want to talk about this matter of two kinds of anger. There are two kinds. There is appropriate kind, and then there's sinful kind. There is godly anger. If you're filling out your blanks this morning, pull it out there. You still have time. There's godly anger, and there's sinful anger. Godly anger is appropriate. It's right. It's something that is okay. In fact, we're being like God when we're showing forth righteous anger. Righteous anger is being angry at what makes God angry. God is righteous. God's anger is a byproduct of His righteousness. In other words, because God is holy and pure, He is angry against anything that is impure and evil and wrong. What makes God angry? Perversion of what is good. Turning wrong into what is then now made right. God calls this perversion evil. Evil twists and disfigures God's glory. It steals what is most valuable. When we profane that which is good, it is not right. We ought to get angry at things that God is angry at. Let me ask you this this morning. Interact with me, class. What should we get mad at with godly anger? Help me out. Anyway. What should we get mad at? Yes. What, false teachers? Is that what you said? Yes. We ought to get angry when we see on TV people that are just in it for the money and taking advantage of people, teaching lies and making them out as if they're truth. Yes, Samantha. Social injustice, absolutely. We're talking about rape and we're talking about beating the children or beating wives. That we need to be, we ought to be mad at that. That ought to really tick us off, all right? Now, we've got to be careful because our righteous anger can quickly then turn into inappropriate or sinful anger. What else should we get mad at? What's that? Hypocrisy. Yes, ooh, that's a hard one. Ooh, hypocrisy. We ought to get mad at abortion and the whole situation there of killing lives of the unborn. What else? Yes, yes, and the definition of marriage and all kinds of things. And when you start doing that, it creates all kinds of havoc. We ought to get mad at these things, injustice, wrong, evil, and that is being like God. And you'll find many passages in the Word of God that talk about His wrath, His anger. And you know what? As you think about that, praise God for His grace and mercy, because He is angry against our sin. Our sin is an offense against a holy God. But praise God for Jesus Christ taking the wrath of God upon Himself in our place so that we could have forgiveness of sins. Ideally, anger can tell us something is wrong and can energize us to do something that is good. There are a lot of things that can come out of anger. For instance, Jesus got angry with the money changers and was motivated to do something about the injustice he witnessed. And he cleared out the temple of that injustice and that inappropriate taking advantage of people. David got angry about things under his jurisdiction. He got angry when the giant challenged his God and made fun of his God, and he did something about it. When's the last time you got ticked off at injustice and evil and were willing to do something about it? So we see that, according to the Word of God, anger is not just sinful. It can be appropriate and godly. But I'd venture to say most of what we experience, even as Christians, is sinful anger. It's not characterized by righteousness and holiness. It's because I had something of mine stepped on, taken. I had my feelings hurt, or whatever. And you can see all through the Word of God. How about starts right off with Cain and Abel? Why did Cain get mad at Abel? Because God accepted his sacrifice and not his. And he was jealous, exactly. And what did he do? He murdered him. How about Joseph's brothers? They were angry at the special attention that Joseph's father gave to him and the coat of many colors. And so what did they do? Threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery through a group that was coming through, a marauding group. Saul, in a rage over jealousy over David's accomplishment. Remember the song of the day? Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And he was mad, and so he tried to kill David. He tried to kill his own son. Anger of an older brother over the prodigal sibling. How about Jonah? He was angry at the worm that ate the plant that fell down, didn't give him any more shade. And yet he was not concerned about 120,000 people that God was willing to forgive because they repented. Isn't that just like us? We get angry at the things we shouldn't, and we don't get angry at the things we should. Anger can be unhealthy and destructive if we allow it. Holding a grudge against someone is destructive. Blowing up in rage and attacking your spouse or a child verbally or physically is damaging and wrong. And so the Bible warns us, be careful about this matter of anger. Second, there's some depictions of sinful anger in Proverbs. These are some of them. But they help give us a picture that anger is really a full body involvement. Here's what I mean by that. I think there's something like six, I've presented something like six pictures before us to show what anger is like. First of all, the flaring of the nostrils in our first one there, if you're filling out blanks. The flaring of the nostrils. Have you ever seen an angry bull? As I was growing up, I worked on a farm. My dad didn't have a farm, but I worked on one. And there was this angry bull that was there and had bent a lot of things and done a lot of damage. And there was one thing, though, I never wanted to get near that animal. It was just a fierce, angry mess. But you know what? The picture I remember of that really shows me sometimes I see people acting like that. And in the Proverbs, it uses terminology that is actually, the term means the flaring of the nostrils. Have you ever seen people that have got that angry? It's kind of a scary sight when you think about it. In Proverbs 14:17, it says, a man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. And then there are many other verses that are using this particular word. Another idea or depiction of sinful anger is an agitated mind. An agitated mind. Sometimes we say a person who is insane has said he's gone mad. In other words, he's suffering from a turbulent, commotion-filled mind, an agitated mind. And you see that often when someone is mad. Third, you see something that is in excess or extreme. Anger often causes people to lose control. Their emotions exceed the needs of the situation. Their responses become impaired, and they just go beyond excess. There's another word that is used or depiction, and that is to be hot or red. To be hot or red. I think it could be referring to the complexion of a face or a neck that turns red. Have you seen a person that has gotten so mad, all of a sudden the blood starts rushing up, the red starts coming up here, and all of a sudden their cheeks get rosy red, and just their whole complexion is red and hot. Now, sad to say, if you're redheaded this morning, forgive me, but redheads are often cited for their quick temper. Whether it's justified or not, you know, we understand the meaning behind that. Germans sometimes are also referred to as having hot tempers. Forgive me, but that's just, whether it's right or not with you, just often people will say Germans or redheads, they're hot-headed, they're quick to tempers. And you know what? Sometimes people will say, that's just the way I am. And they will excuse their unbiblical, ungodly behavior. I don't care whether you're Irish or German or English, African-American or whatever, we have a responsibility to live in a godly manner, to walk in wisdom. And anger should not characterize our behavior. A man of quick temper acts foolishly. It has been rightfully said that when your temper boils over, you're usually going to end up in hot water. I like that. That's well stated. Well stated. A hot-tempered man, according to Proverbs 15:18, stirs up contention and strife. But he who is slow to anger quiets contention. A man mentioned here to be red or hot is a hot-tempered or literally a man of heat, one who blows up like a volcano. Proverbs 29:22 says, a man of wrath stirs up strife. The effects of a volatile temper warn against losing one's control over it. Wolverd and Zook, in their commentary, the Bible Knowledge Commentary, said this, an angry, hot-tempered person causes strife and commits many sins, perhaps including cursing or insulting others, misusing God's name, being rude, lacking kindness, being cruel, rebellious, or proud. It has many ways of expressing itself, and it's not pretty at all. Will Rogers said, people who fly off in a rage seldom have a good landing. That's pretty funny as well. So, sorry, it's just my humor here. People who fly off in a rage seldom have a good landing. And then Chuck Swindoll said, I got so angry that I gave him a piece of my mind, and it was a piece that I couldn't afford to lose. I like that a lot. Just a reminder that sometimes when we lose control, it is just very damaging and it's very ugly. There's another depiction of a hot-headed or angry man, and that's to be irrational. That's kind of to be understood very, very clearly, to be irrational or foolish. And then the last one, if you're filling out the blanks, the sixth under that, to be miserable. A depiction of an angry man is to be miserable. The angry man, really, angry people that I've run across, and when I expressed it in my own life, I was not a happy camper that I was doing it. I was miserable myself. I knew that I was out of control, and I was depressed and discouraged about it and had to get a hold of it. So what we see from this, these are just a few depictions, but the angry man is a complex character. He can be a raging bull, a man gone mad due to agitation, a person who has totally lost control, a quick-tempered individual, someone who's indignant and depressed. That's not a pretty picture. We see the whole body response, the mind that's not thinking right, the emotions that are out of whack, the red face and neck, the nostrils flaring, acting to an extreme. Anger is not a pretty picture, and I think that the Solomon and those that are writing here, several others that are writing in the book of Proverbs, want to really emphasize that. Stay away from anger. Deal with it appropriately. Third, main reasons for sinful anger. Do you know what the main reasons are for sinful anger? Let me read a portion from James. Turn over to James chapter 4, if you would. And we'll move along quickly. But I want you to see this passage because it really has helped me to understand sometimes about myself and why I get angry and I shouldn't. James chapter 4, look at really the verses 1 and 2. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you don't have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Let's just stop right there. Do you know what that's saying? There are quarrels and disagreements because I want what I want and I want it now, and you're keeping me from what I want. Anytime that I'm denied what I want or what I think I deserve, I get angry. It's not fair. I deserve better than this. I'm better than this, so don't treat me like this. And I'm going to get angry. And oftentimes people will say, you made me mad. No, they didn't make you do anything. That's you losing control. Just think about many times we get angry because somebody caused us to be late. I have seen people on Randall Road banging on the steering wheel with their fists, with their hands like this, and their heads too. Boom, boom. And so the next thing you know, as soon as the light turns, boom, they're going around, they're actually driving on the shoulder, coming back, cutting in, and all of a sudden I'm just cutting along, going along, and I'm pulling right up next to them. Bang, bang, boom, oh, boom. And they're screaming to the top of their, and I'm going, what in the world is wrong? I think someone has lost control. Wow. How about an unexpected event? Someone spilling something on you. You know, there are some people that it's amazing. You could spill a whole tray of food and they would just laugh and say, wow, that was fun. The next guy, if you spilled a drop of water on him, he will want the bill to be cared for. They want that person to be on notice, fire him. It's just amazing how dealing with people, it's just quite a complex situation. A wrong order in a restaurant, I've seen some of even my co-workers over in Hong Kong be jerks. Absolute fools. And sometimes I wanted to just go up to my co-worker and go, whack! What in the world are you doing? You're here to minister to these people. Why are you acting like this? Or how about a flat tire? Who likes a flat tire? I sure don't. But you know what? Think about that some of the times that I've seen God provide in some incredible ways with people coming to my aid has been when I've had a flat tire or some kind of car problem. Man, I sure hate car problems, but I've seen God bless in some wonderful things in the midst of it, like you wouldn't believe. God has lessons for us to learn. And if we continue to pound and gripe and shake our fists at God and at others, we are losing opportunities to learn the very character that God wants us to learn. The other reason is pride. Why do we get angry all the time? Selfishness is one of them, but pride. We've seen it all. A man would be placed in a position and he realized that all of a sudden he's wrong, but he's not going to admit it. He's just going to blow up anyway. He wants to look good in the sight of others. Pride and selfishness is often the reason. Number four, let's just list them down through the damage of sinful anger. We could go on and on about this. You've seen guys in locker rooms who've gotten mad because of a loss. They go in the locker room and smash the wall, a cement wall. You realize what a hand going against a cement wall? That's stupid. It really is stupid. Or into a locker, a metal locker, and they break their hand and then they're out for the rest of the season. Kind of foolish. But what is the damage of sinful anger? Number one, anger brings personal harm. Personal harm. Sometimes we do ourselves damage. Chronic anger, in fact, Proverbs 14:30, I think has the idea of chronic anger is hazardous to our health. And I see people all the time, they wonder why they have ulcers and why they have heart problems and why they're in so much ailment with high blood pressure and tightening of the arteries and their heart rate is high. They're mad people. It's not good for you. Stay away from anger. It can literally kill you. Number two, anger makes relationships difficult. That's kind of a given, isn't it? That's kind of like a duh moment, right? All right? A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Number three, anger brings frequent problems. It says a man of great wrath or anger will pay the penalty. Proverbs 19:19. Number four, anger destroys reputations. We've seen that. I've seen pastors who have blown their reputations, have lost their ministry because of foolishness, because of their anger, letting it get out of control. Number five, anger leads to constant battles. Constant battles. And number six, anger inflames cruelty to others. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is cruel. Because anger is so harmful, what must we do? Let me just give it in some quick application, and maybe we can even deal with it a little bit more in the weeks to come or 1 week to come. But I want to give you some application. Obviously, the big idea is God wants us to have control over our anger. Learning to control our anger furthers God's loving purposes in our life that must be dealt with. Out of control anger destroys our ability to make wise choices. The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And it talks about the matter. If look at that passage in Ephesians 4. Just jot it in your notes. It says, well, I want to, you better go there, because I forgot all about what I'm, I better, I was trying to quote it, but I can't. Ephesians chapter 4, it says this. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Do you realize that anger opens up the door and invites all kinds of problems in our life? When a country wants to go take over another country, when a country wants to come in and invade, what they do is they try to go in and establish a beachhead and then work from that beachhead that is right near the enemy. And then you do things, you conquer them from there. What happens when the devil takes advantage of our anger? He gets a beachhead in our life, and then he works his dastardly deeds from that beachhead, that foothold that he can get into our lives. Be careful. We must not allow that to happen. Let me give you a couple suggestions, pointers from the Word of God. Number one, it's very clear over and over again from Proverbs. It says, be slow to anger. Develop a long fuse. You've seen these Westerns. Sorry, I like Westerns, okay? And so, you remember how they would light the fuse? Some of them would be a quick thing. But if you light the fuse, then it gives you time. And if you got a long fuse, it gives you time to get out of the way. That's kind of smart. You let that fuse kind of go along and on, and boom, and blow up. Develop a long fuse. Don't be so quick to get angry. Be slow to anger. Over and over we read that in Proverbs 14:29, James chapter 1. Be slow to anger. Proverbs 16:32. And on it goes. But be slow to anger. Number two, put away sinful anger. We see that over and over in Scripture. Ephesians 4:31, Colossians 3:8. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you. Throw it away. Put it away. It's not honoring to God. We see that over and over again. Some people say, I've conquered my anger, but my friend sure has a problem. Then be careful. And that brings you to point number three. Avoid angry people if you can. Avoid angry people if you can. Now, if it's your own mate, you have to deal with it. Okay? If it's your child, you have to deal with it and work with them and guide them. Set an example for them. But anger causes strife. Anger is contagious. It is a dastardly thing. It's dangerous. It says in the Bible, Proverbs 22, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest you learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. So be careful. Be careful. Number four, repent and ask for God's forgiveness and help. I've had to do that through the years. Over and over again, I realize that I've said something hurtful to my wife, and I've had to suck up my pride and just realize you are a dummy, Mark. Don't wait for her to come to you because you're the stupid guy that said that thing. You need to go and apologize, ask for her forgiveness, and ask for God's help to not do it again. I've had to go to my boys. I've told you that before. As I've spanked them in anger, as I've dealt with them inappropriately, if they spilled their milk on the table, I would be, go on, don't do that. My wife would just kind of look over. She would just kind of look over at me with sad eyes, and I'm going, oh, that was just melt you right to the ground. And I think, oh, I have done wrong. And so I had to apologize to my boys, sometimes when they were younger, sometimes when they were teenagers. And you know, because you know what I realized? When I spilled my drink, they were all laughing at me. Oh, humiliation, but I was realizing I need to be careful on this and not be getting angry about everything. So repent and ask for God's forgiveness. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's bring it right down to conclusion. Have you spoken words in anger lately? You know, I had the hardest times that I found that I'd had to deal with my anger was Sunday morning on the way to church. I'd be trying to get the kids together. Things were just all askew. I had to get there because I wanted things to be right and on time. And I'm just a time freak kind of to get there early. And if we don't, and boy, I'll tell you, I've blown it many Sunday morning. And my wife would remind you after the service, do you know, Mark, you were a real jerk. Well, she didn't use that word, but you know, that's my interpretation. You know, you were really hard on the family earlier, and I had to repent. Have you wronged somebody in your family, your children, your spouse lately? Have you gotten angry at them? And are you waiting for them to come to you? Let's quit that nonsense. Let's be quick to say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Have you wronged another church member? Have you done something to offend? Have you gotten angry over something foolish? Let's make it right. Let's not let those things linger, because bitterness can really destroy. Anger is a powerful emotion. Handled carelessly, it creates divisions. It wounds people. It devastates relationships. And I'm glad this morning I'm not addressing this because of any known situation in the church. It just happened to be in the schedule. And so if some of this is of application, especially to you or to me, let's deal with it. But there's hope, isn't there? God will help us. God wants us to teach us, to help us to learn how to control our emotions, to be honoring to Him. That's the way of wisdom. May God help us. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your patience with us. Even as I've said to You this morning already, thank You for Your grace and Your mercy and Your long-suffering nature. I'm so thankful that as I woke up this morning, I knew that I had a faithful God who didn't change the rules, that His anger is rightfully against my sinfulness. And Father, I don't want to live with sinfulness, with unconfessed sin. I want for my life to be a joy and a blessing to others and to bring glory to You. And I pray that that would be all of our heart's desire today. Search our hearts, try us, see if there be any angry ways within us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.